Hello, everyone. It's time again to talk Ann Arbor area prep hoops with your Coach Speak podcast crew, Derek Seidel from Napoleon, Josh Trope from Chelsea, and yours truly, Matt Seidel from Olivet, all head boys basketball coaches at their respective schools. Okay, fellas, it is Michigan State week. It is Halloween week, and we are less than 3 weeks away from the start of our seasons. Life is good, man. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty good. You know, just got moved into the house this week, so I've been really busy moving stuff around, getting things set. But it's exciting. And at the same time, you know, basketball is getting so close that, you know, I'm getting the itch for sure.
Really good. Week five of the fall league, probably needs to be the last week, you know, getting a lot of coaching complaints about scheduling and things like that. So hopefully wrapping that up. We got one more week of that. I think it's gone well though. We've got one more week on Halloween to finish that up.
Well, hey, the 3-on-3 league over at Olivet was smooth, man. It was smooth. It's all about who runs the league. That's what makes or breaks a league for sure. But you know, I mentioned our Michigan State, and we cannot talk too much about that. We're going to leave that maybe for their end or not at all. But it is Halloween week, and Josh, you brought that up earlier today in our conversation, and man, it got us thinking about Halloween. And I'm not a big costume guy or Halloween party guy, but I am a big candy guy, and I eat more candy than most 58-year-old men should eat. But it got us thinking about, you know, remember when you walk up to those doors and you knock or ring the bell or whatever, and they open up and you say trick or treat and you put that bag out there and then you just kind of watch what they put in. I mean, what were you guys, what was your favorite candy back in the day? I mean, or even today, like what did you get excited about when you got that put in your trick or treat bag?
For me, the biggest thing with the trick or treat bag when I was a kid was it was all about the full size candy bars. Like that's where the money was at. Like if you got the big candy bars, those were the best houses to go to. If you're looking at specific candy, there's two basically the same thing that I like the most, which is Three Musketeers and Milky Way. Those are definitely my go-tos personally.
Wow. I am a huge Mounds guy, love coconut, huge Kit Kat guy, but I'll tell you what, I also have some candies that I throw away the minute I see them too. I mean, candy corn, milk duds, and I believe it's Whoppers or Whompers. Those things should be thrown away the minute you get home.
It's amazing that we're even friends. Candy corn is in my top three anytime. I am a candy corn addict. I don't even let Stephanie bring it into the house anymore. It's so good. I can't believe, and Whoppers are underrated. Very good candy. Oh, man. It used to be a great movie candy. But the ones that Baby Ruth and Almond Joy were the ones that I lived for, man. I would trade for those with my brother and sister back in the day. And I'd try to get rid of Twix or Jolly Ranchers or something ridiculous like that. But I can't believe you just took a shot at candy corn, man. It's just, man, is that good stuff. But
We might have to do a poll on the podcast Twitter and see who eats candy corn. But I'm with you on Almond Joy. I love the almond. Basically, it's a Mounds with an almond in it. You got to go. I love that. That's excellent.
Yeah, those are good. The one that I know, I'm pretty sure you might like these, Dad, but the Butterfingers. I hate Butterfingers. Those are terrible. Yeah, Butterfingers and Baby Ruth, I do not like. But those are definitely my two least favorite.
Butterfingers can be like biting into a rock sometimes if it's not a fresh Butterfingers. The fresh Butterfingers are really good. But I feel bad for Derek. And Josh, you're a little younger than me. Maybe Halloween used to be like walk around and go up to people's doors and they would answer from their home. Yep. Like now, like in our subdivision, everybody goes out to the end of the driveway and the kids just kind of walk. And heck, we don't even get any little trick-or-treaters anymore. But it got really like too organized. Everybody down in the cul-de-sac and got bonfires going. But I used to like walking up to people's houses. And I mean, it was a longer process, obviously. But yeah, it's a whole different Halloween or whole different holiday now than it obviously used to be for probably obvious reasons. But that is not why we came on the podcast tonight. We did come on the podcast, even though I'm getting kind of hungry thinking about all that. We got on to start our previews tonight, and we are going to kick it off with what we call the other 10. These are boys basketball teams, basically, that from the Ann Arbor area, extended Ann Arbor area, that are not part of the Southeastern Conference or the Cascades Conference. Last year we did the other six, and that was Gabe Richard and Green Hills, Whitmore Lake, Milan, Belleville, and Arbor Prep. But we've added four to that list that to give us 10, and we've adopted the three Jackson teams that compete in the I-8, which would be Western, Northwest, and Lumen Christi. And we've also pulled in Clinton. So we saw a lot of them this summer, and they are a relatively local team. So that makes up the 10 that that we're going to talk about tonight. So let's jump right into it, man. I mean, I don't know. we can group these any way we want, but I'm gonna make us talk about it. The team I brought up, I think in the last three podcasts we've had, I'm going to bring them up again tonight. The Belleville Tigers and Adam Trempour. When we talk about, you know, one of the area's best teams, I think it's hard to ignore these guys. What are your thoughts on Belleville when you look at their list of people coming back, when you think about their history, if you've actually got a chance to see them at all this summer, any early thoughts on them?
For me, you know, I got to see some of their guys at the Coach Speak podcast showcase this summer. So that's really the only time I've seen any of their players. I didn't see them play as a team this past year, but obviously I'm well aware of their history and stuff, you know, being league champs a year ago. And then I think they fell to Lincoln in the district in a decent game, it looked like. But the thing that really stands out with their group this year is they bring back four seniors who, according to coach, they're all first team, all leaguers. There's gotta be a typo there, right? Cause that means like their whole team was first team, all KLAA over there. But anyways, that just shows you how talented they are coming back. And I'm referring to DJ Johnson, Mario Johnson, Trey Parker, and Malik Nacer. I believe I might have pronounced that wrong, but that core group. And then just looking at some of the other guys they've got coming, it's a really talented group. And I think seeing it on paper, I don't know. And just thinking back through it, I do think that this is the best team in the area at the end of the day.
You know, Derek, you know, referenced it a little bit, but the depth is what blows me away. I mean, eight returning key returners, according to coach, with two top newcomers. I mean, so it'll be interesting whether coach can keep everybody happy. So according to coach, they have 10 key guys. I don't know if he's really going to have a 10 man rotation or not, or how that's going to look, but those eight key returners, I mean, they have to be the most experienced and deepest team in the area. That's for sure.
You know, the one thing that catches my eye, you know, Bryce Ratka, the 6'8" post player, he was the guy that they were drooling over at our Coach Speak showcase, because obviously 6'8" guys don't come around all day. He's not, you know, he's probably accomplished less than maybe five or six other guys on the team going into his senior year. Not to say he's not going to be an absolute stud this year, but it's, you know, he wasn't even one of the all leaguers. They had another honorable mention all leaguer, a kid named Jalen Jenkins. He's only a sophomore. So as a freshman, he was contributing last year. Ratka is going to have a big year, but I mean, he might not even start on this team, and he might not be their leading scorer. He might not get postseason honors this year. But he's probably going to play college basketball somewhere, and maybe even ahead of some of these other guys. But yeah, they've got a little bit of everything defensively. You know, I mean, they've got the ability to play fast, but you know, the other stat that kind of stood out, and just looking at the report, they held teams to 40 points a game last year. And I don't think it's because they're holding the ball. I think it's really because they do get after people and use their defense to score. I didn't get to see them a lot, but I've seen some of his players individually, either live or on video. But yeah, it's going to be fun. You see if they can peak at the right time, but definitely look out for them. I agree with Derek. They, on paper, they might be the area's best team right now.
What do you guys think? Do you think that they will win the league again? I'll be honest. I'm not super familiar with the teams in their league: Dearborn, John Glenn, Franklin, Fordson, Stevenson, Wayne, and Churchill. But I would put my money on them almost blindly, just knowing their guys, but I could be wrong there.
No, I think they're the favorites. They have to be, right? Eight returning players and they're the league champs. But I'm going to tell you, John Glenn, they did well in the transfer portal in the offseason, John Glenn. So they might have something to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good list. There's going to be some really good individual players. You just look at those schools in that conference. And in Wayne, obviously, with Steve Brooks there, he's going to impact them. All those schools have had good years and they fall off a little bit. Belleville's probably been the most consistent. I would probably pick them, not knowing a ton about those other teams, but they will have to compete for their wins in that conference, which is good for them. It's going to make them a better team. So, you know, the other one I think we should touch on real quick, or maybe not so real quick, but Arbor Prep, you know, coming off a 14-3 season last year, and they actually had kind of the wheels come off a little bit at the end. You know, they had their head coach, Rob Murray wasn't even available during that Hanover loss in the deep into the tournament last year. He didn't even get to coach in that game because of COVID protocol. But this team was good last year, was close to getting to the Breslin a year ago, and they have got guys back. I mean, they are a handful for anybody on their schedule, regardless of class. Thoughts on Arbor Prep and Rob Murray's squad?
Well, I mean, you say the wheels came off. I mean, they lost in the quarterfinal game, so I don't know if they really came off. I'd like the wheels
to score 20. They did score 20. They scored 29 points. That's what I meant by the wheels.
Well,
I don't know if they scored 29 if their head coach is on the bench tonight, but
maybe. But might have something to do with that Hanover D. But no, they're loaded. Like we talked about, they are the area's best bet, no question about it, to get to the Breslin Center. No question about it. They're the favorite. They got the best chance. Now, I will say this: they should breeze through their district without any issue, but they will run into an excellent Erie Mason team in the regional. Well coached, well prepared. Tons of guards and ball handlers. So they will be tested in the regional before they would get to a quarterfinal against possibly the Napoleon Pirates. But yeah, no, I think they're really good. I would say they're the UNLV of our area. I mean, you know, Roz kind of got that Jerry Tarkanian thing going on. They got transfers from all over. I got a new team every year. I mean, new faces. But obviously one of the best teams in the area.
You know, it really is crazy to me. I remember seeing the stat when it happened. Like, that was their first regional championship last year. And like, just knowing some of the players that have, I know the school hasn't been around that long, so it's not like this is dating back for, into the 70s or something. But, you know, they've had so many good players, and they finally have broken through and won that regional title last year. You know, looking at the roster just with, you know, I know Patrick Combo as the point guard returning as a senior. I mean, he's going to be just kind of a steady force for them. Having a guy like that returning is really helpful at the point guard spot. I know he's a lefty. They got a few lefties, which is always kind of fun when you get the quick lefties that they got. But, you know, and again, coach has got him at 70. He's a 4-year starter. So again, having a guy that's that experienced is extremely helpful. I know I saw recently that he had picked up an offer from Albion. They got, the transfer that I know you kind of mentioned there, the newcomer, the Troy, I think it's Seacott.
I think it's Seacott. Yeah.
Seacott. All right. Seacott, who I believe is transferring from Divine Child as a 6'5" senior lefty that can do a little bit of everything. And he just picked up an offer from a handful of small colleges, including Lawrence Tech, which, you know, caught my eye. But, you know, they just have, having that many guys that, you know, are college players at a Division III school just really, really puts you in the conversation, as you mentioned, of getting to the Final Four and to the Breslin Center. I know the one other guy we haven't mentioned that I believe does have, according to coach, has a few offers already, is Amari Bird, who's a 6'7" post. And I actually think I remember this kid from watching their game against Chelsea last year, because he was blocking some shots and contesting some shots inside. He's a big dude, really good around the rim. And I even saw some videos of him a couple of years ago on Twitter when I was researching him some today, of him getting some dunks and blocks as like a sophomore. So again, he's still around and is a really big dude on the inside. They have so much talent. The only last piece I'll say is it's really odd not having a conference, right? Like, the whole year, like, I guess their whole year in terms of a championship and stuff, it rides on that postseason, which, you know, that's fine, but it is a little weird not having that conference to compete for. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but
that's when you got to get creative with your schedule. And he has scheduled as many good teams as he can. He shared with us recently that they're hosting that Winter Blast on December 11, where he's actually playing in the marquee game against Saginaw High. The high coming to Washtenaw County and playing at Arbor Prep. Who would have thought that? But that's a pretty cool deal early in the season. And you know, I Josh was joking a little bit about the UNLV thing, but I mean, two of their guys, you know, Combo and Bird, are both 4-year starters. So it's not like they came from anywhere. You know, we mentioned CCOP, but Caleb Mason, another 2-year starter, is a senior, and Xavier Brooks, a junior. So that, you know, that might make out their starting lineup right there. Those two guys played a ton last year as well. So going to be interesting if they stay healthy and, you know, they're playing Romulus and we trade Henry Ford, and he's not afraid of anybody. So he's always fun to talk to. And I've had a couple of conversations with him and enjoyed him each time. So,
well, and as somebody who's played against him, I can tell you, he's one of the best basketball minds in the area. There's no question about it. I mean, you talk about a diversified style. I mean, they can press you, they can zone you, they can spread you out and play against you, and they can flex you. I mean, they do a little bit of everything. They can really play to anyone's style. So, like I said, I think they're probably going to be the area team that gets the deepest in the tournament this year.
The flex is coming back, man. I can't wait. I gotta go check them out. I gotta see that stuff. So, speaking of anti-flex, Father Gieber Richard and Rex Stanzak, we have to lump them in. This is a really interesting team. This is going to be, we've already mentioned it earlier. They have potential to have an outstanding season over there. He's got one of his teams, you know, at a different level, but it's kind of reminds me of some of those Pioneer teams he's had in the past. And maybe they found the missing link too, which is one of the weaknesses that they had. Thoughts on Gieber Richard and our boy Rex as he heads into his next season and maybe his most successful at Gieber Richard.
I know obviously Josh is pretty familiar with this group because they were in his district a year ago and they'll be in his district again. And I haven't actually seen them play in person since I was an assistant at Chelsea when we saw them in the district a couple of years ago. But you know, the biggest thing with them, I was watching some highlights earlier today on Huddle, and they got a lot of guys that can shoot the three, right? They seem to be pretty versatile with their returners. I mean, the Chris Chavey, he really impressed me I know it's a highlight video, so every shot's going in, but he was able to put a lot of highlights out there of making threes, but he's got a really quick release. He's got good range. And he's got just an impressive jump shot, but they have a lot of guys, even some of their other role players, maybe from a year ago, that might be stepping into a larger role, appear to be able to knock the three ball down a little bit. I know they have three returning starters with Chavey Fredericks, JP Fredericks as a 4-man, and Russ Schwartz as their 5-man from a year ago. They're not huge, but I think they're big enough, you know, with 6'6", 6'3", 6'3", 6'4", among those returners, you know. So I think that they have enough size there. It's a really good team in a really tough district. I think that they have should have a good conference race, and it'll be really interesting district they play in. So it'd be a fun team to watch this year.
I think it's a great transition from Arbor Prep to Gieber Richard, because Gieber Richard's in a very similar position where, you know, they have a 5-team league. And the Catholic League is such a mess the way things are set up right now. And if I'm Gieber Richard, I'm bailing out of there as fast as I can. I mean, they get 8 league games, and then, you know, I'm sorry, they have a 4-team league. I'm sorry, they have 4-team leagues. So they're getting 6 league games, and then they can't schedule the last month of their season in case they make the tournament. I mean, it's a mess. It's not a good setup for them to really get any momentum and things like that. Rex has set up a great non-league schedule. This team, you know, is as good as anybody else in the area. On any given night, this team could beat anyone. They are long at every position, incredibly skilled. And, you know, I would argue that Rex, if he's not the best coach in the area, he's one of the two or three best. I mean, and, you know, they're going to be prepared for anybody they run into. I think they're going to have a phenomenal season. And then, yeah, I mean, I don't want to play them in districts, I'll tell you that. So, they handled us easily this summer, so I really don't want to see them again.
The one guy we have to mention, too, is the young man who's back to Ann Arbor from IMG, and Quinn, is it Rochi or Rochi? We're going to learn to pronounce his name correctly because we need to.
Yeah.
Yeah, he may end up being their best player on certain nights. But the reason why he's their most important player is the issues that Richard has had the last couple of years have been at the point position. No offense to anybody who's played the point for them, but they really haven't had a true point guard. With him coming in and stabilizing that position, it's going to allow these other guys to really play at the top of their game. And Rex has basically said as much when we talked to him. Of course, you see that James Kanzicki is a sophomore on this team too. And that name just keeps popping up. And the old Celine name from back in the 70s and 80s. And now that they're coming through the Richard system now. But, he's got all, he's going to have multiple guys who can lead him in scoring. They're going to be balanced. They're going to be very difficult to defend. He says that defensively is going to be a key for them. They need to be better defensively this year. And Rex is definitely capable of getting them to that level. So they are going to be fun to watch. And again, back to that district, Chelsea, Williamston, and Richard, all in the same district. Dan, oh man. Tropes, you play for March, but you better play well in December, January, February too, because March might be tough. Just throwing that out there for you. But
well, I remember an old coach that sometimes knows what he's talking about always said it's more impressive winning the league than it is winning a district.
That coach is a smart guy. He's good looking too. But yes, I agree with that. So, but anyway. Well, yeah, if those are the top three of our other 10, and they're three of our best teams regardless, we can throw the SEC and the Cascades in there as well. But let's shift gears and talk about the three Jackson area teams that we've pulled into our umbrella here. And that would be, Western, coached by Ryan Molnix. We've got Lumen Christi, coached by Tyler Aldridge. And of course we have Jackson Northwest, coached by John Moffitt, all members of the very competitive I-8. What do you guys are familiar with them because you know these guys, you've seen their teams play in the summer, you've seen them play, in the fall league. I don't know that Lumen Christi's in your fall league or not, but I know the other two are. What do you think in terms of individual players and team chemistry? Can any of these guys turn the corner? They struggled win loss wise, I guess they did last year in the COVID year. Are any of these three ready to make a big jump this year?
I think that they're really in a tough spot in the league just because the rest of that league is so good right now. I actually like the pieces on all three of these teams. And like I said, so that really is not, I'm not knocking the Jackson area schools. I just really think highly of, Coldwater and Marshall and Harper Creek and the other teams in the league with them. The team that I've seen the most of this summer, would be in this fall would be Western. And the interesting piece that coach pointed out, Coach Molnix, is they actually don't return any starters. And they actually had a very successful summer when I saw them. We saw them a handful of times. We were at the same events as them. We did play them once. And I thought that they looked good all summer long. The three returners that coach definitely noted are Cole Wilcox, Carter Martin, and Cooper Johnston. And those guys did play some legitimate minutes on the varsity a year ago. They also have, I think, the biggest newcomer, at least this summer, that seemed to assert himself was Cam Carter, who's a little point guard, 5'8" point guard, but he's really quick. He's strong guard, really tough defensively. They kind of run a lot of trapping three-quarter court stuff, at least this summer, and he was really good in that. He's actually a transfer, I believe, from Jackson High, I think is where he played a few years ago. So I think he'll play a key role for him. With them, they have a lot of pieces that look similar on the wing, I guess. They have a lot of similar pieces that are solid players. I think they got some decent slashers. I don't know if they have a ton of shooting. When I've watched them, I think that might be where they're maybe lacking a little bit, but they should be pretty interchangeable. They should be able to get after you a little bit. So I think that they'll have a decent year. We do play them, so I view them as one of our toughest opponents this year.
I think to answer your question, Matt, I think all three teams will be much improved. I think all teams will have better records than they did last year, but no, I don't think anyone will really turn the corner. I mean, it's Coldwater, Marshall, and Penfield's league. And that's just the reality of it. And, but I think on any given night, these teams could beat those teams. I just don't think over the course of a season, they could end up winning a league title and things like that. Now, that being said, I think Western has the potential to be a very scary team by the end of the year. The style that they play is makes you uncomfortable. It's tough to prepare for. Coach Mullix does a really good job as far as having his guys play extremely hard and be interchangeable. As Derek said, they have interchangeable pieces. It fits their coach's style very well. They should be a favorite to win that district again this year. I think that, you know, with along with Adrian and Onsted, all of those teams will compete for that district title. But I think Western is right there. They'll be the most athletic team and the deepest team. So they have a great chance to win a district. And I think they'll be playing well by the end of the year. Northwest will be much improved, but unfortunately for them, they're Class A, and their district is loaded. And so, and Coach Moffitt knows that. I mean, I think they're playing for an improved season and a chance to maybe win a league title. And, you know, I think they might be a year away. You know, they got a really nice size 11th grader, Briston Armstrong. They got a great backcourt, one of the pieces being Duncan Moffitt, but they also have another really good guard. And then Lumen Christie, the one that intrigues me the most. You know, Tyler is he did not coach football this year. He's all locked in on basketball. They had a ton of young guys get experience last year. And, you know, if they can get through the grind of a really improved I-8 basketball league, a really tough basketball league with some Class A schools, you know, they are not somebody I would want to see in the state tournament. Class C basketball, and it is very balanced. And when they walk into that league, that district, they're going to play against all the other teams in their district will play in the same league. And they'll come out of a Class A, B league where they've seen much tougher competition. So if I was a team in that district, I'd be very scared of Lumen Christie.
Yeah. I wonder who that is. Yeah. I like, you know, it's funny that the guards, there's some individual players on these teams. Colin O'Neill, who we also again saw at our showcase, the guard for Lumen Christie, that's a tough dude right there. He's tough guarding the ball. He handles the ball. He competes. He's a physical specimen. And they've got some other guys like that. Obviously, it's a football school, but even some of their guys that don't play football. I got to see them. We actually played them this summer, but I was impressed. And I'm not even sure he had all of his guys there. But the O'Neill kid, again, I think they're going to be as good as he plays. You mentioned Duncan Moffitt, a coach's kid. Really enjoy watching him play. Seems to make every shot that I see. I'm sure he doesn't, but he does shoot the ball well. Ian Weller, the 6'6 kid from Northwest, is he's back. He averaged nearly 10 points a game last year and 6 boards. They're you know, it's funny. I was sitting with the Harper Creek coach today at our 3-on-3 league, Matt Bowling, and I was actually talking to him a little bit about Northwest, and he kind of perked up a little bit too. He feels like they have some pieces and they have some size, and you know, he knows John does a good job. So they're kind of a wild card this year. Would not be surprised if there was a team kind of in the middle of the bottom that people are expecting that might make a jump this year. It could be Northwest, but Coldwater has the best talent, I think, by far, as long as they stay healthy. Marshall's going to be able to put 4 or 5 stud athletes out there. Harper Creek is well coached, and they have some guys too. They have some seniors that are savvy, and they've got some athletes. They're a tough out. They might not win the league this year, Harper Creek, but I bet they have something to say about who does. But it's interesting. The Jackson teams, they're all solid. They've all had their good years in the past, but last year COVID in different ways snuck up and got all three of them. So looking forward to another coach's kid. Derek mentioned him, Cooper Johnston. We should mention, obviously, he's Chris Johnston's son, the Jackson College coach, and he's going to play the point and the shooting guard this year for Western. So always like watching coach's kids play. But
yeah, here's one for you guys. If we again, they're all. Odd thing about it, one's Division I, one's Division II, one's Division III. But if you had to pick which one of them would, you know, I guess you could say is the best, or which one will finish the highest in the standings, which one would you have to choose of the three Jackson schools there?
I'm going to take this year, I'm going to take Northwest. I don't know why. Just based on just some intel that I've gotten from other people, and I don't have any proof of it, but that's kind of my gut feeling right now.
I would agree, just because they're so big. I would agree, and I think that, I think they'll be more consistent throughout the year. To have somebody like Duncan Moffitt back, I think Western at the end of the year will be the best team of the three, but I think they'll have some ups and downs.
I think I can agree with that. But I might have to play two of these schools. I'll say I respect them all. I think they all look very good.
Good answer, man. Good answer. So, all right. Well, that leaves us with four, and there's some of, you know, we have Green Hills with Andy Wright, you know, coming off a kind of a rough year last year, but man, did COVID stick it to them? They were 5-8. We've got Clinton with Jeremy Chavez. They were 8-10 a year ago. They definitely have a couple of nice individual players. We have Whitmore Lake with Ryan Masters from the Josh Strope coaching tree, and Milan, who has a brand new coach. Obviously, he was an Arbor Prep assistant last year, and that would be his name is Nate Edwards, correct? I've not had the pleasure of meeting him yet, but it's going to be interesting to see what type of product they put out there. What are your thoughts on these other schools that we haven't touched on yet?
So the school of these four that I'm the most familiar with is Clinton. And I actually think that Clinton is a sneaky good team this year, just like based on seeing them this summer and knowing some of their personnel. The biggest thing that stands out for them is they have a really, really good player in Grant Stockford. He's a junior wing player, but can handle the ball. He's about 6'3". He's strong. He's built. He's just a good all around player. I think he'll have a lot of success this year in the LCAA, and him being there really gives them the ability to I think, you know, compete with some teams that maybe have a little bit more overall talent. I've been really impressed with some of their other pieces when we've played them in the summer. They beat us once, we beat them once, so we split with them. They have a lot of little guys that are kind of, they're just sneaky, like they're scrappy kids, and they seem to just kind of be in the right place at the right time. And coach named a few of them, to be honest, I don't know which one is which from when we're playing them. Cause I, you know, in the summer, there's not numbers and stuff, but a few of their names, I mean, Ethan Harrington was a returner. And then a few newcomers this year, I believe, are playing with them this summer, being Landon Buss, Ryan Sherhart, maybe, and Lucas Ritchie. So I think, you know, again, they had a lot of impressive little guards. They are very small outside of Stockford, outside of Grant. That could really come back to haunt them in some of their games. But I'm impressed with them. I think that they're an exciting team. They get up and down, and they got some good players, good shooters.
Yeah, Clinton, I don't know if one of those guards you named is the transfer that they got from Lenawee Christian, but they have a really good transfer guard, and he's looked really good in the fall league. And then obviously my favorite player on the team is Jalen Stelzer, a freshman. He's played with Luke the last, I think, 4 years in travel basketball. So it's been great to see him play in the fall league. And then I think he'll add something to that varsity team this year. So it'll be great to see him come off the bench. Great kid, great family. And he's got a big future in basketball. As far as these other teams, obviously Whitmore Lake means a lot to me. Coach Masters did a great job as an assistant here in Chelsea. You know, he does a great job. He, you know, watching their teams play, it looks a little bit like Chelsea and a little bit like Leslie, which is a credit to Matt Johns and what Coach Masters learned from him as well. I think they're going to be one of the longer teams in the area, and they definitely will be one of the longer teams in their league. I think that, you know, they got a transfer from Dexter that will really help them out a lot. He's going to be a really good player. And I think they're going to score a ton of points. I don't know if they can make a deep run considering they have Arbor Prep in their district. So I think coach has really got to try to win a league title. That's going to be a big thing there. And just continuing to grow from last year. I think that they can compete in the league and make some waves. And then one of the best coaches in the area is Andy Wright, and they are always competitive. You know, I think that they have a chance to win a league title this year, and you know, they're extremely well coached, tough team, tough kids. And then I'll go back to Clinton for a second as well. I think Clinton is the favorite to win their district, and you know, like Derek said, they're gonna have to stay healthy. They don't have a ton of size, and they're gonna struggle in the league. Their league's very tough, but their district's very winnable. You know, and so I think, you know, Coach Chavez will have a chance to keep the guys focused towards March there. Now, as far as the last team, I'm somewhat familiar with Milan, and it'll be the first year without my old assistant, Chris Pope, there. And, you know, Chris learned well from me. I left him 11 returning players when I left Milan to go to Chelsea. And he in turn left Coach Edwards 7 returning players with a lot of size, a lot of athleticism. I think Milan will be the second or third best team in that league this year. Riverview's without question the favorites to win that thing. But I think Milan can compete for a league title. And I would say Milan has to be the favorite to win their district. I mean, I know Ida will be well coached and they have some size, but they're coming off a lot of injuries and you just don't know how that's going to work out. They had a lot of ACL surgeries in the offseason. But Milan has to be the heavy favorite to win their district in Coach Edwards' first year.
A quick fact check. You asked about the kid from Lenawee Christian who transferred to Clinton. That is the one that we probably butchered his name, Ryan Shearhart. He's definitely the one. So we'll definitely keep an eye on him. I love what you said about Andy Wright. His teams always seem to, again, last year was just such a, it's kind of like Michigan football last year. It wasn't really their true self. You know, we kind of got just kind of push that one away and not count it. That's kind of what happened with Green Hills. And he's got 4 returning starters back, Finn Klein, Trevor Finnegan, Ryder Freed or Fried, however you want to pronounce that, and Sam Dorfman. One's a 4-year starter in Klein. So I think he's got his kind of team and they're experienced and they know his system. So yeah, a league title run by the Griffins from Green Hills would be probably not totally out of the question. The Whitmore Lake, I did not see them at their best this year, but I mean, they had a kid coming back. You're the first team all league player last year. Alden's Stefanovsky is, I believe, how you pronounce it, a 6'4 senior forward. Kid averaged 17 points and 15 rebounds, according to our numbers here that Ryan shared with us. I don't care what league you're playing in. Those are some huge numbers. So be interesting to see what he can do. They have another kid, Isaac Brady, who is a second team all-leaguer too, that averaged 11 points a game last year. So
yeah, I was really impressed with Ryan going out and just playing really tough teams all summer too. He did a great job of that. Yep.
And he was hurt. He was limping around. When I saw him, he had a boot on or crutches or cast or whatever, man. He was worn out. So, but anyway, yeah. So it's, that's the Milan thing. I mean, just they're the one. I'm glad you shared some of that information. I don't know what to think of them. Hopefully, you know, like when Milan's good, it's fun for the area. It seems like they're never in the middle. They just, you know, they either really are disappointing or they're going to the Breslin, you know, 2 years in a row or something like that. But I don't know. I hope they're good. It's fun. Like I said, it's fun when they're good. And they had a pipeline from Ypsilanti there for a few years that made one guy probably seem like a better coach than he really is. I'm not going to use any names, but that pipeline, I don't know if it's still going on anymore, but they need to get it back if it isn't. So I would look forward to that. So
yeah, they have some size. I'm looking at their roster. They have a 6'5" senior Ethan Budd, who is apparently an all-state high jumper, and then a 6'6" junior forward in Connor
DeCellier. Now, do you realize that's the son of the major league pitcher, Chris DeCellier, who is an Ipsy High grad and pitched for the Seattle Mariners?
Wow.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah. And then, so no doubt. And let's look at Green Hills for a minute again. Sam Dorfman, I believe, is the kid's name. That has to be an all-name team. Are you, the crowd's going crazy for Dorf. I mean, that's a great name, by the way. And is that a foreign exchange student that they have? I saw Green Hills might have a Nicola.
I'm not even trying that name. Yeah.
Nicola Sarjevic, maybe. I don't know. We'll have to get some information from Coach Wright on that one.
I bet he can shoot the 3. I don't know, but that's a great name too. They're 4-year starter, Finn Klein. I mean, come on. I got a guy with a first name Finn. I mean, how about an all name team? That might be a podcast in itself, right?
Oh, without a doubt.
Me and Josh watched Finn Klein play. We were scouting Gabe Richard. Yes, and he had a very good game that night. I remember Finn Klein.
Yeah, he lit Gabe Richard up. There's no doubt about that.
As a freshman, yes.
Yeah, Rex's defense, and Rex has got to take, even though he wasn't the head coach, he's in charge of the defense that night. They forgot about Finn a few times.
All right. Well, hey, that's the other 10 right there. That's a lot of interesting teams. We're going to be following them closely and wishing them all well this year. And be interesting to see what individuals kind of emerge, and probably many that we didn't even mention it. We wish we could mention all of them, but obviously that would not be great podcast material. So, Our next podcast will be, we're going to try to preview the area girls teams as best we can, even though we're not really on the inside of that loop. But we'll cover as many as we can in our next preview. And then following that, it'll be the Cascades Conference. And then we'll go with the SEC White and the SEC Red, very similar to what we did a year ago. So, yeah, that was fun. Some good stuff.
Before we sign off, come on now. Before we sign off, let's make our Michigan State predictions. Let's
go. I was going to do it, but since you brought it up, you want me to go first?
Go right ahead, yeah.
I've got Michigan winning this game. It's going to come down to turnovers and big plays like it does. I think it's a pick'em game. I was looking for the line today. I couldn't find it this morning. Maybe it's come out already.
It was four. It opened at four. Michigan was favored by four. It was open.
Okay. All right. I think it's a pick'em game. I mean, I could, it would not surprise me if State won. I see if Michigan can just keep the identity that they've established this year. They've been very solid defensively. They're playing all three, special teams, offense and defense, playing very strong, very solid, not making a lot of mistakes. And they've got talent, a lot more talent than people realize. The idiots who keep asking for a quarterback change, please go away next Saturday because I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to even see you. Cade has done an incredible job running that team. He was good again Saturday. And I like the fact that they took some shots downfield. Nobody was open downfield, but he was letting it whip. Anyway, Harbaugh's body language didn't look too good after he threw back-to-back deep ones to the same wide receiver. I like the fact that they're airing it out, even though his numbers didn't show that. But I do like Michigan in a close game.
I mean, this is awesome that we're getting a top 10 matchup of undefeated teams within the rivalry. And I really don't know that either team was really expected to be at this spot. State definitely wasn't they've already gone over their over under to begin the year. And although both Michigan and Michigan State's tougher games probably remain on the schedule, which is maybe inflating their numbers some at this point, but it should be a really good game. I obviously could see it going either way. I agree. It's not like, oh, it's an obvious choice here. I'll pick Michigan to win. I don't know, by single digits, but I'm with you. I don't think that they need to change the quarterback right now. I like that they're using JJ some, but I think McNamara's done fine. I think the biggest thing is, can they avoid giving up the big play with Naylor and what's his name? The other wide receiver that's Reed, I'm blanking Walker, on. Yeah. Jalen Reed. And then Kareem Walker. I mean, can they avoid the big play will be huge. That could really swing the game if they're giving up. They better not fall for a flea flicker. I know that.
Well, just like another rivalry game that recently happened, I think the road team will go in and hammer the home team. I look just like Chelsea went to Dexter on Friday and beat them pretty good. I think that Michigan will go into East Lansing and win this one probably 31-10.
Kind of a weak comparison on your part there, Tropes. If Michigan State's best two players don't play on Saturday, yes, I think Michigan has a chance to go in there and lay the wood to them. And of course, I'm referencing Dexter playing Chelsea without Cabana and without Parachek. That game probably shouldn't even go down in the record books. It probably just go like a blank, like it never happened. So if Chelsea's celebrating that one, good win, nice 9-0 season, good luck in the playoffs. But if Cabana and Parachek play, that's an entirely different game. I'm not saying Dexter wins, but definitely an entirely different game. I stand by that. So go Dreads. I'm not even affiliated with Dexter anymore. I live here. That's about it. But still.
Sure. Hey, I was reading the article today about they had one of the Chelsea players was talking about how they're shutting up Dexter. It's like, it got my blood boiling. Like, dude, yeah.
Exactly.
I can't even. They need to get control of their players and their post game media. So that's all I know over there at Chelsea.
Who did Chelsea draw first game?
It doesn't matter.
No,
it's Romulus Summit Academy.
Oh, that's right.
And unless Mark White's coaching the football team and they're playing 5-on-5, we're rolling. So.
Well, good deal. I will be in Williamston on Friday. How about the playoffs? I mean, my final comment of the night. We beat Williamston in week 8, we being Olivet, We have a better record than Williamston, yet we are going to Williamston for a playoff game and have to play there. Now, I understand they play bigger schools and they got more playoff points because of their opponents. But what shouldn't there be a head-to-head component in the formula to, you know, that kind of takes precedent over that? It just seems like Williamston should be coming to Olivet. But I know it's more complicated than that. But I think with technology, they could be able to put some kind of component, because there is no head-to-head deal. I mean, it doesn't no advantage there. It's just about wins and your opponent's record and so forth, right? I mean,
yeah, I know the football is done it right for so many years, and it's just a mess right now. I mean, I you know, we got three win playoff teams. I mean, football is an absolute mess right now. They need to just let everybody in. Week 9 needs to be the first week of the playoffs and just move on with it. I mean, it's kind of a mess, and they got to relook at their point system too. There's no question about it.
All right. Yeah. I mean, not to, like, you can't, the head to head thing doesn't really, you can't do that with a formula, buddy, but maybe you need to go back to school and do some study in math. But I'm not disagreeing that there's something wrong with the formula, but yeah, you can't just have a head to head component randomly. Oh, they have more points than us, but we beat them head to head. Like, that doesn't work. Like,
it should override it in some way. I'm looking for something here, Mr. Math guy.
I agree that it sucks, but I mean, how about Napoleon? They're 6-3 and they're out. So I mean, hey.
Well, we could this could be a whole nother podcast.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
Why is there 8 divisions? Why do we have 8 state champs in football, but not in anything else? So whatever. Anyways, Chelsea's bringing it home, baby. Let's go.
All right. On that note, good seeing you guys. We will be back next week with our girls preview, and go blue.